Please follow along as we read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You may be seated.
I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but if we're not careful, we can actually speak a foreign language in the church. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, or Swedish, or Norwegian, or Spanish. I'm referring to the language Christianese. It's a language all its own. Words or phrases that we can use in the church without thinking that no one outside the church really understands much what we're talking about. You know, over the years, there's about five different phrases that have kind of jumped out at me, and I thought, you know, if I wasn't familiar, if I wasn't a follower of Christ or wasn't in the church, I'm not sure what I'd think. Such as hedge of protection. Well, that's good. We're praying that God would put a hedge of protection around people, but it almost sounds more like landscaping, doesn't it? Or slain in the spirit. Sounds a little like Star Wars, maybe. Refers to the power of the spirit, but doesn't sound like a very good outcome. And then, of course, there's born again. Well, of course, we know about birth, but rebirth. Nicodemus had a hard time with that one, and he was a religious leader. And then, of course, there's quiet time. We talk, it's important for us to have a quiet time. What does that mean? Is this an adult version of a timeout only with Jesus? And then, of course, we might use the phrase, what a blessing. That's a good church phrase. What a blessing. And that's going to be our focus today. I think that blessing is a great word, and yet I think it's one of the most overused Christianese words. You see, what exactly does it mean? Blessing is something we hear so often in the church that I think sometimes we've taken its meaning for granted. It's kind of like the word fine. Chances are, when you came to church this morning and you recognized somebody or they recognized you and you greeted each other and said, well, how you doing? Fine. Right? Fine. What does that mean? It could be anything from I'm near death to life couldn't be better. I'm fine. I'm here. Sometimes we say, well, I'm vertical. You see, it's so generic, it actually ends up not really meaning anything. So that's my concern with the word blessing. Now, what most of us would probably be hard-pressed to explain it, and the truth is most of the time it's used is when somebody sneezes. Isn't that true? That's when we use it. I want to focus in on the word blessing today because I actually believe it is an important word and we need to understand its meaning in order to fully appreciate it. Well, in our psalm for today that was just read, Psalm 67, it uses the word blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. So let's define this word more specifically to see what God's blessing can look like in our lives. Gary Smalley, in his devotional book, Giving the Blessing, tells us that the first definition of the English word bless means to consecrate or make holy. It also means to invoke divine care for, to speak of gratefully, and to confer prosperity or happiness upon. Personally, I like the last one the best. Who doesn't like prosperity, happiness? Well, we have good examples of this in the Bible, people in the Bible. I mean, look at Abram. Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Wow, that's a lot of blessing, isn't it? God called Abram, and through Abram, Israel, to be the blessing to all the peoples on the earth. And I think ultimately what he was talking about there was Jesus. Because it was through Israel that we have the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came to save this world from its sin, which is the biggest blessing of all. We know that. And yet, they were to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Well, I think in our psalm for this morning, we're going to see that God's plan for his people today remains the same. God blesses us so that in turn, we can bless others. We are blessed to be a blessing. So let's break that down a little bit. What that means to me is just a couple things. The first is that we need God's blessing. This is not just a, oh, if it works out. We need it. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. We are not self-sufficient. We may like to think we are, and I think we do, but the truth is we need help every day. Now, this past week, I lived down in Wilmer, so I relied on Wilmer Municipal Utilities to provide power to activate my alarm and to wake me up and to brew my coffee so that I could be nice to people. So I was good. I was good. In recent years, I've seen some of those reality shows from Alaska of these people who were seemingly completely self-sufficient. They didn't need anything from anybody. They were making it all on their own. They were living out in the wilderness. They were killing their food. They were building their shelters. They were facing all these horrible weather conditions, but they were tough. And I think I was interested because I was up there for a couple mission trips up in Alaska. But my question was, are they really completely self-sufficient? Don't they have to sell fish or hides maybe or furs in order to buy fuel, get tarps, get other supplies, canned goods? You see, the truth is, no one is totally self-sufficient. We need others. Most importantly, we need God, and we do need his blessing every day, whether we're aware of it or not. So how do we receive God's blessing? How does that all work anyway? Well, I think the best way for us to receive God's blessing is to ask for it, to know we need it, and to ask for it in prayer. One of my favorite Bible verses is John 16:24. Jesus said, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." As I look at that verse, I think sometimes we are that verse. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Why would you not ask? Because you don't think you need it. I can handle it. So he's talking to some people who think they have got it taken care of, but they find out they don't. Life never didn't turn out to be what they hoped it to be. And he said, that's because you're not asking. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So from both the Old and New Testaments, we can see that we need to ask for God's blessings. And the good news is that blessing is not something that God begrudgingly gives. On the contrary, God desires to bless you. I hope you're in a place where you believe that. Sometimes we get in a bad place and we go, well, yeah, God really did this, then I'd be fine, but he sure didn't come through. Well, God blesses us in so many ways that we're not aware of. And to know his heart, the heart of a father who loves to bless his children. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so you need to know today that God wants to bless you, and he will bless you. That's his character, not to curse you, but to bless you. So we need his blessing. Well, where do we need God's blessing? In what parts of our lives? Every part of our lives we need for him to bless us. In our spirit, that's our heart. That's the control center of life. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I'm not sure exactly. That's like one of these huge, huge, huge definitions, maybe. What's every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ? I think it's a whole lot more than we would even begin to understand. But to me, that means the Lord desires to fill us up with himself, with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, with the power of the Spirit. This is the love relationship that God desires to have with every person. And we can only have this relationship when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives, so that he would be our Lord. He would be the one who would lead us. He would be our Savior. We know that he saved us, that he forgives us. See, this is the only way that we can personally experience the blessing of God's presence, his power, and his love. God wants to bless our soul. Now, that's mind, will, and emotions. See, God wants to renew your mind with his word so that you're thinking his thoughts after him. Your perspective of life is not what you hear on the news. It's not what you think yourself, but it's what God says here. This is the perspective that you have on life. God wants you to discern his will so that you can accomplish God's best plan for your life. And he has a plan. And I hope you know what that plan is. And God wants you to have your heart broken with the things that break the heart of God. The sin that separates us from God. The selfishness that causes us to look the other way when we see someone in need. The brokenness of the poor and the destitute. So every day we have a choice. We have that mind, we have that will. We can choose to follow the Lord. We can choose to obey or to disobey. We can choose to repent. We can choose to follow. We can choose to make God number one in our lives. But depending on the kind of choices that we make will be on the blessing that we receive. Not that God isn't blessing us, and not that he doesn't want us to have the blessing, but if we're not in a place of receiving it, then it's going to pass us by. And then God desires to bless our body, or the physical part of us. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he spent a lot of time healing people's bodies. And there's a good reason for that. You see, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we need that physical and emotional energy and health to accomplish God's purpose for our lives. The Bible says in 3 John, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as our soul is getting along well." So God heals us and restores us. And yeah, we wish he'd heal us more. I got that. There are times that we all go through some dark valleys where we're saying, okay, I could use healing now. But it just doesn't quite work that way. But he does give us the strength that we need every day to do what he's called us to do. And that's what we trust in the promise that he gives us to do. But it doesn't stop there. He also blesses us, I think, financially. He really does. He blesses us in ways as we learn to tithe and to give over and above, then God can trust us with finances. There are times when we wonder, God, why? Why is just everything so tight all the time? And sometimes I think it's because we haven't learned how to give. God can't trust us with his finances, so he doesn't give them to us. So that's part of our thing where we need to say, Lord, I want to take hold of your finances, but it's to provide for my needs and to provide for those around me. But what's interesting here is that God wants to bless us. And I think that would be a great message for our culture, because our culture would love that message. Our culture basically is saying, God, bless me. You bless me. I want to be blessed. I want all the blessings I can possibly have, right? But here, it says it doesn't stop there. Like Abram, we have been blessed to be a blessing. Life is not all about us, and it's not all about our comfort. So we need to share God's blessing. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. And so when we pray, God invites us to ask for his blessing. However, he never intended that we would just pray for ourselves alone, nor that we would selfishly hoard his blessings. It's like every parent, when your kids are growing up, one of the key lessons you want to teach your child is how to share, right? How to share. And that's not an easy lesson. As God our Father, he is no different. He is trying to teach us how to share. And God desires to bless us abundantly so that through us, he will be able to make his way known to all the peoples of the earth. That was God's plan for Abraham and continues to be God's plan for us today. Verse 2, that salvation may be known among all the nations. Actually, Psalm 67 is a great missionary psalm because it expresses God's desire to save people and God's method to save people. God's method to save the world has remained unchanged throughout the centuries. It comes down to this. When our words of witness are combined with sacrificially loving actions of compassion that come from sincere hearts, people will be saved. That's what happened in the early church. Acts 2. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Well, let's read this together. It's kind of long, so let's just do it together. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I was listening to a pastor that kind of broke down this passage, and I thought the formula he came up with made a lot of sense to me. And this is the formula from that passage. It says good deeds, and good deeds, that means where you see a need around you and you help somebody out. And so your question is, who can I help? Who can I bless? Who has a need out there? So good deeds will lead to goodwill. That's favor. That's favor of the people. Favor of maybe the people in the church, but it's favor of the people out in the world. It's like with the early church, when they saw Christians living with each other, loving each other, sacrificing for each other, they were impressed. So good deeds lead to goodwill, which leads to good news. Salvation. People being open to the gospel. people saying, whatever you have, I want it. And that's when they're open to Jesus. So blessings are not all about what we can get and keep. A true blessing is always meant to be shared with those in need. And a true blessing may not be what we expect at all. Watch this.
God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears. Tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. May God bless you with foolishness. Enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world.
So I want you to ask yourself three questions today. First of all, what blessings has God given me? Ask yourself that. Remember that old song, Count Your Blessings One by One? Isn't it Name Them One by One? We could do a whole lot more of that. Just stop every day and count your blessings and name them, to realize just how much God has blessed you. Secondly, ask yourself the question, where do I need God's blessing in my life? Be honest with God. He wants you to be honest. Pour out your heart. In your spirit, do you need to draw closer to Him? Know Him better. Love Him more. Maybe it's your soul. It's your thought life. It's your lack of peace. It's your lack of direction. It might be your body. You got health issues. You need healing, or you need a job, or you need finances. Be honest with God and say, God, I need you. I really do. And then a third question is this: where do I need to share God's blessing today? Where do I need to share God's blessing today? Who needs prayer? Who needs prayer around me that if I would just stop and lift them up to the Lord? Who needs a meal? Because they can't pull together a meal right now. They're just not able to do that. I'll give an example. Because my wife just got an email from a good friend of our previous church. What had happened is this. was in March, and my wife had fallen on the ice and broken her arm. And that just had all sorts of ramifications. As she was up like this, I became her hairdresser. Now, if that isn't scary, I don't know what is. That's what I was doing. I was doing, because she had her arm in the cast. And one day, it got down to, because she likes to iron everything. So now I'm supposed to iron everything. I'm not really good at ironing. And we were trying to do it together. It didn't work. Our marriage survived, but it just didn't work. And then a lady called. I think this is a God thing. A lady called and said, I heard about the arm. What can I do for you? How about ironing? I loved iron. They said, really? Yes. And she just, you know, she gave Ione all this ironing, and Ione was so glad to do it, but what a blessing. I mean, you'd think, what's the big deal, right? It was a big deal. It was a big deal to my wife because somebody cared enough to help her. So look around you. Maybe you don't think it's a big deal to you, but it could be a really big deal to somebody else. Who needs a helping hand? Like I said, help clean the house, a project. Maybe it's watch their kids. Who needs a friend to listen and to love? Who just needs a friend? See, my friends, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to others, with the end result that God's ways may be known on the earth. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Lord God, forgive us for really not understanding this whole idea of blessing and how rich it can be and how life-changing it can be for us and for others. Forgive us when we have turned blessing into simply a word that means I can have life my way, I can feel good, I'm always healthy, I've got more than enough money, and that I'm happy. But Lord, like we saw, help us to be blessed with discomfort. Help us to feel anger, to see the injustice, that we might have tears, and that we might be foolish enough to believe that with God and us, we're a majority, and that nothing is impossible with God, and that if we'll simply be available, we can make a difference. We can make a difference. So God, today, we are so, so thankful for your many blessings, many of those blessings that we have not even realized. But we pray you'd show them to us. And now, God, help us. Help us to be the blessing to those people that you have put in our lives, in our sphere of influence, for a reason. We're there to bless them in the name of Jesus and with the love of Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.